And did you practice sweet hour of prayer this week? Last Sunday morning in the message, we camped on praying. And did you spend time praying this week in response of all the chaos taking place? I was, yes, amused at the number of texts and emails and phone calls this last week regarding the message from last Sunday. I changed last Sunday's message Friday and Saturday, sensing that God was leading a different direction, and He did. And thank you. When I get texts like that or confirming messages, it reminds me that, yes, the Holy Spirit led in this series of messages on Philippians and then last Sunday morning. I prayed the same thing today as we continue with Philippians and sort of wrapping it all, bringing it all together. There'll be that same sense that God's perfect timing for this message and for indeed the book of Philippians as we have wandered through it. As I look over this week, and I think the word chaos is probably the word that fills my mind with what is happening in the United States. I've seen a lot of chaos in Panama and Ecuador and Honduras, and yet I sense even more so, I think, this week. Let's stand as we read from the Word of God, and welcome to the Facebook and the radio program, those who are joining us by radio and also with Facebook, welcome. It's a joy for us to have you in our service today, and if it's convenient for you, open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9, as we read God's Word. Reading from the inspired and inerrant and infallible Word of God, Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say to you, rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts, your minds, in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. And the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. May the Lord add His blessings to the reading of His Word. And our gracious Heavenly Father, we come to You and thank You that indeed You are our peace. In the midst of chaos, in the midst of change, You are our peace. And we thank You for Your presence with us right now, this very moment. Oh, Father, we pray that You enable us through Your presence indeed to listen to Your voice, to apply Your words in the chaotic day that we live. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We live in a day in which I'm convinced that the greatest battle is the battle that's taking place in our minds. It's not anything new. It's the intensity of it that we're facing in our day. advertising specialists know how to control our thinking. They work at controlling our attitudes toward the issues, the commercial products, the political issues, the politicians. And by controlling our attitudes, they control our lives. It's not something new. I took a course in university 60 years ago on advertising and how to appeal to the mind, to change the mind. In recent years, we've watched how media, Facebook advertising philosophy, Twitter feeds, Google searches, seek to control our minds. It's a battle. It's a battle that's going on all the time, trash in, trash out. As we look at the day in which we live, it's a spiritual battle. I look over the events of this past week and I'm reminded once again, we are in the middle of an intense spiritual battle. It's a battle for our minds, it's a battle for our lives. We started off a new year. And all of a sudden, we're bombarded with chaos and confusion. And the question comes to my mind, how do we live in the midst of such chaos? How do we live in the midst of it? How do we live and be pleasing to the Lord God? Last Sunday morning, as part of our message, we used Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. And this is the only way we live in the midst of the confusion. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be provided for you. You have a handout this morning. I ask you to please take it with you. Reflect on it. Sort of summarizes where we've been throughout the fourth chapter of Philippians. Last Sunday morning, we emphasized prayer. We spent some time talking about attitudes, rejoicing. Again, I say rejoice. That's an attitude. The psalmist says, this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, regardless of the day in which we face. Attitudes. So important are the attitudes in our life. And last week, we camped on prayer. We looked at these beautiful words of Paul when he reminds us to be anxious for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Did you spend some time praying this week? When all of a sudden you're aware of the crisis at hand, did you fall on your knees and cry out to the Lord God and present the need to him? Paul says if there's going to be any lasting change, there has to be a change in the way we think. God plus me is a whole person. And I think, man, the way we battle this thing these days is the security that we have in God the Father. Isn't it wonderful to know that God the Father chose you? He adopted you to become a part of his family. That's the greatest security in all of this world. The very thought that he chose me in the midst of my depravity and my sin, that he chose Will Pounds to be a member of his family. That's security. That's the greatest security in all of this world. Not only that, I have significance because God the Son came and gave himself for me and died in my stead. He paid my penalty. And because of his death, all of my sins have been forgiven. Isn't that wonderful? Do we come in here today with that sense of paid in full? No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Boy, that gives us significance, doesn't it? The reality that we belong to him, that we're identified with the one who is our righteousness. Security in God the Father, that's God plus me as a whole person. significance in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there's the work of the Holy Spirit. My sufficiency is found in the work of the Holy Spirit. From the very moment you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, He came in to dwell. He lives within us, and He will live within us for all eternity. He will never, ever leave us. Man, you talk about sufficiency to live the Christian life, security in God the Father, significance in the person of Jesus Christ, in our identification with Him, in our sufficiency, the I can do it feeling, the sense that whatever the chaos in this world, God plus me is a whole person. My mind in recent weeks and again this week is camped once again on the providence of God. Isn't it wonderful to know God is sovereign? In the midst of all this stuff that's taking place today, the Lord God is sovereign. And the old Baptist doctrine of the providence of God is more precious than ever before. Paul tells us in this passage of Scripture in Philippians chapter 4, that if there's going to be any lasting change, if we're going to have this peace from day to day, there has to be a change in the way we're thinking. Do we want the abundant life in the midst of the chaos? Then we have to take control of our minds. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, that's where we'll camp today. A little bit pedantic today, if you please. But it's needed for us to grasp these words and how they affect our lives and the change that comes about. Paul says, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, finally, brethren, he's finally reached his finally. Paul is one of those preachers that says, in conclusion, though, and it goes on for another 15 minutes or 30 minutes. Paul finally arrives at his conclusion, finally, brethren, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable. Our English translation is translated if, but it's a fulfilled condition. The best translation is since. Since there is any excellence, you better bet there is. Since anything worthy of praise, yes. Think on these things, and as far as the things you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the peace of God will be with you. Chaos? How do we live in the midst of chaos and change? Paul tells us in verse 8 that here's the source of our spiritual strength. And we're reminded that the human mind will always set itself on something. If I were to tell you, don't think about such and such, you'd never come back to where I am in the message. Because the mind is going to be focused on something unless we have become senile. We'll think. We'll continue to think. We set our minds on the right things, Paul says. If we aren't careful, we set our minds on the wrong things and we can't get the dumb thing out of the groove. It just runs and runs and runs and runs. How do we change it? Well, Paul gives us six adjectives which picture the Christian ideals. Paul says, whatever's true. Boy, as we think about the immediate crisis we're in, is it the truth? How do we know it's truth? Boy, in graduate school, one of the things that was drilled into our mind, ask yourself, is it true? Where's the evidence? Where's the true proof? My wife would come in from school and she'd say, I love you. And I would say, where's the evidence? Where's the proof? No. How do I know? It's amazing how we lay these things aside. And we face the issues. Where's the evidence? Where's the truth? Paul says, whatever is true, that's the opposite of deception. Illusionary fantasies. It's the opposite of empty promises, of psychological crutches for pop psychology or the humanistic gospel that's being preached in our day. Paul says, whatever is true, this is the stuff to think on. We need to ask ourselves, does it ring true? What we hear in the news, what we hear of the gossips of the day, does it ring true, or is it like the old Liberty Bell, that it has a distorted sound to it because it's broken? Is it true? Does it ring true? When you hear rumors and gossip and criticism, does it ring true? Check it out. Go to the source. The best way to stop any gossip in any church, anywhere, is to go to the source of the gossip and ask the hard questions. Where is the evidence? Where is the truth? How do you know? Paul says, whatever is true, that's what to camp your mind on. Whatever is honorable, the word comes from word, it means to venerate, to worship. Is it worth your honor? And the person who moves throughout the world as if it's the temple of the Lord God, is it honorable? Is it worthy? It's the opposite of a flippant, cheap, attractive attitude. But here we're talking about something that is serious, something worthy of reverence. It makes you think of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is what I'm thinking? Is the process that am I using, does it remind me of the Lord Jesus Christ? Does it make me want to worship Him? Does it have value? Is it worth the price I'm going to pay if I follow through with these thoughts? Is it worth your reverence, your respect? Is it dignified? This thing I'm dealing with, as I evaluate it, does it make me want to go into the presence of the Lord God and worship Him? Paul says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, what is my duty to God? What is my duty to the church? The emphasis of Nikai that's used here is the emphasis on the human conduct that tallies with the divine standard of action. One of the best ways to tune in to that which is right, read a chapter in Proverbs every day. Proverbs has a way of just clarifying in our minds and hearts the true values of who we are as individuals. Do you have that attitude of being conformed to the righteousness of the Lord God? Do you have a mind conformed to the holiness of God? We're talking about intrinsic righteousness here. That which is right cannot be tainted. And when we look at life and evaluate life, do we have that sense of righteousness? As we listen to the issues, as we confront things in our own lives, is there the righteousness of the Lord God that permeates everything we think about? Well, Paul goes on, he says, and whatever is pure, hagna is the word, clean things, clean thoughts, clean behaviors, morally undignified, undefiled, morally undefiled. It describes what has been cleansed and brought into the hour of worship. It describes us as we enter into the presence of the Lord God, and and we stand before the scrutiny of the Lord God as we come to worship. Are my thoughts pure? As I analyze the issues of my day and the crisis of my day, will they stand the scrutiny of the Lord God? Will it defile? Could it corrupt if given attention? If I continue with these thoughts on and on and on and on, will they make me holy in the eyes of the Lord God? What is pure? And Paul says, what is lovely? And the word comes from a word meaning pleasing, winsome. It's a word that means pleasing, attractive. Howard Marshall renders it beautiful because it's so easy for us to see the beauty in perverse things in our society. Barclay says it calls forth love. And I think these are those whose minds are set on There are those whose minds are set on vengeance and punishment, and they call for bitterness and fear in others. There are those whose minds are set on criticism and rebuke, that they call forth resentment in others. And that's not the idea we find in this passage here. And the mind of the Christian is set on lovely things, on kindness, sympathy, forbearance. Here's the winsome person that we meet, and we see the love that effuses from that person, and we just want to reach out and hug that person. Paul says, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, and that loveliness is that sweet attractiveness of being in the presence of another person who loves the Lord Jesus Christ with all the heart and with all the soul. Here's the loveliness that produces peace, that produces rest. When you come into this type of loveliness, you just want to relax and enjoy that deep, deep peace, knowing of that relationship with the Lord God. And Paul says, and whatever is of good repute, whatever is worthy of praise, those things we can back off with all of our heart and just give praise, thanksgiving. I'm convinced one of the lost gifts in our day is in the churches is a word of encouragement. Those who can stand back and just give a word of encouragement to those who are hurting. Whatever is of good repute, good reputation, speaking fairly of the person, it's attractive, it speaks well of them. The things that are fit for God to hear when we talk about another person. Embarrassed one of our teenagers a few minutes ago. I asked him, there's one of the teenagers right behind us that's singing. We're sitting on the front row, and this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful voice that just sings out, and the tone quality, the quality of music is absolutely beautiful. And her mother passed by and asked her mother if she was the one who's singing. She says, no, 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 it's her. She knew we were talking about her, so I got up and went back and told her that you have a beautiful voice. Absolutely beautiful. Looking forward to listening to you sing a solo pretty soon in worship service. Encouragement, just encourage people. That's what this these words are all about. Whatever is of good repute, it's attractive. Does it give a good report? Is it winsome, attractive? Boy, when you think of a word like that, does it exalt the Lord Jesus Christ? Does it make Jesus Christ look good? What Paul is talking about in this list of words that he uses. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, man, has a good reputation about it. Paul says, These are the things to think on. Think about the ethics of our day. The acceptance of homosexuality, full-term abortion, extramarital sex, premarital sex, we could go on and on. Could never pass the test of the Word of God and what Paul tells us in this passage of Scripture. They are not things that ring true, are of honest value, conform to the holiness of God, do not defile, produce rest, and attractive. These are the things Paul says, hey, think about it. I've often said in recent years, the evangelical church no longer thinks. It'll buy into anything under the sun if it's pleasing. It makes me feel good. And the evangelical church has forgot how to think. And Paul comes along and says, think on these things. If there's any excellence, and here again it's a fulfilled condition. Yes, there is excellence. There's the mental excellence of moral quality. And Paul says, think on these higher values. Set your mind on these things. Anything worthy of praise? And the word Paul uses here is that of what deserves your praise. Anything which calls down the approval of the Lord God, the recognition of excellence. Things that you have faced this week, do they commend excellence in your life? Do they want you to lift up in praise, thanksgiving? And the Christian will live in such a way that he will neither conceitedly desire nor foolishly despise the praise of others. Somebody comes along and they say, thank you to our deacons. Boy, I have reminded the deacons in this church for the last 9 months. We love you. We care for you. You're precious men to work with. And I'll tell the congregation again, you catch these boys by surprise and you stroke them. You encourage them. You build them up. Make them feel good that they are deacons of Dixie Baptist Church. Gift of encouragement. Paul says, let your mind dwell on these things. Ponder these things. It's an imperative, the way Paul states it. Imperative position. Think. Take into account. Reflect upon these things. Let them shape your conduct, Paul is saying. It's imperative to guard what you let your mind dwell upon. Boy, is this relevant in our day? Relevant in our lives? Are we managing these four walls? Are we taking into account that what we think up here affects everything we do in our lives? Everything. Woost, I think the best translation is though, Kenneth Woost. These things make the subject of careful reflection. Mueller wraps it all up real good for us when he says, and whatever as many things as is true, honorable, worthy, just in the right relation with God and man, pure in a moral sense, lovely, attractive, amiable, gracious, praiseworthy. And the next of these, without further comment, any virtue, any moral excellence, any praise, things approved and therefore worthy of praise. Once again, it's a spiritual battle. We are in the middle of a spiritual war that will not go away. We have a tendency to put the idea of a spiritual war up here on the shelf somewhere. But let me remind you again today, we are in the middle of a spiritual war. We are in the middle of spiritual chaos. We are in the middle of spiritual crisis. As never before, the battle gets fought here. And the way we respond to it as believers in Jesus Christ. Verse 9, Paul tells us to practice these things. Look at verse 9. Look at the multiplication of verbs. Paul says, things that you have learned, things you have received, things you have heard and seen, practice. Paul says, I'm a model. The preacher stands before you and says, yes, I am a model. And would to God that there are these things that I'm modeling. And Paul tells us in verse 9, things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace shall be with you. You want that constant peace that comes from the Lord God? You want that constant peace of walking with Him? This is where it takes place, folks. Practice. Continue to action. It's a habit. Practice as a habit. These things habitually practice, and the God of peace will be with you. And that's the only way we have peace. That's the only way we have individual peace. And at this stage, that's what really counts. Practice, put in the habit these things. And God Himself is our peace, and He gives us peace. Under all of the chaos, chance, the changes, the circumstances that are going on this week, the believer, you and me, who trust in Christ, put these virtues in practice, and we have that peace that passes all understanding, that never ever goes away. It's God's peace. It's His gift. And enables us to do it. God plus me, it's a whole person. I have that sense of security in God the Father. I have that sense of significance in my relationship with Jesus Christ. I have that sense of sufficiency in the Holy Spirit. And Paul has built on this thing and said, rejoice. And again, I say, rejoice. Attitude check. And Paul says, pray about it. Commit it to the Lord God with thanksgiving. Focus your mind on these things. Truth, honorable, right, pure, lovely, good reputation, excellence, worthy of praise. And Paul says, model it. Just like Paul is the model, you be the model. And things you have learned, received, and heard, and seen in me, just get up and do it, Paul says. Practice these things. And what? There comes an abundant peace that only He can give. Do you have that peace? After a week of confusion, do you have this peace that only He can give? It may be that you did not have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ to begin with, and this becomes that moment of having peace, peace with God. It comes only by simple faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. And for those who are watching on Facebook or listening on the radio, we're fixing to give an invitation, and we invite you as well to join us in this invitation. What is your relationship with Jesus Christ? And if you've never trusted Him and don't have that peace, right now is the time you can have that peace with God. It also becomes a time of making a commitment of what are you going to do with these truths? Are you going to change the tape? Are you going to think on these things and put it in practice? This is your invitation as we all stand to sing. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day and for Your love and grace. And now we pray, O Spirit of God, move over our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.